to be thinking about that. Alice M. Clark, age 94, died on Sunday, February 11th, 2018, at 9:55 a.m. at Richland Manor Nursing Home, Bluffton. She was born April 30th, 1923, to James B. and Cosavira Hodges Rex, who preceded her in death. On April 5th, 1942, she married James Clark, Jr., who died March 10th, 2017. Alice was a homemaker whose specialties included Swiss steak, fried potatoes, polka dot salad, and raspberry pie. She was a devoted mother to her children and grandchildren, who she loved very much. She was a member of Auglaize Bible Church, Herod, which had its beginning in the basement of her home. She was the organist for over 50 years, taught Sunday school and Bible school classes. Her eternal rewards consist of spending countless hours helping others commit Bible verses to memory and seeing many accept Christ as their personal Savior. Alice graduated from Herod High School in 1941. She was instrumental in leading her basketball team to the league title in 1938. She was a top-notch swimmer and diver. Survivors include four sons, Terry with Sharon Clark of Venice, Florida, Doug Clark of Sarkozy, Missouri, Gilbert with Lois Clark of Lima, Pat with Chris Clark of Lima, 12 grandchildren, 26 great-grandchildren, 10 great-great-grandchildren. Alice was preceded in death by a daughter-in-law, Nancy Clark, and six brothers, Dale, Burrell, Reed, Pearl, Joe, and Wilbur Rex. Is there anyone that would like to share a quick memory? Thought about Alice? I'll just have you stand right where you're at. Anybody? Pastor Hamlin. Amen. Pastor Bailey.
I would be remiss if I didn't say something. I could say a lot.
Anyone else? Thank you for this. Well, I'm going to read I'll close our testimony time with Leslie Kreitz's granddaughter, put an online post. I think this was on Instagram. I asked her if she'd like to read it, and she says, "Oh, no, I could never do that at this time." I was so lucky to have you in all stages of my life. You were the best grandma ever. You spent so much time with us. You always made time. You took us swimming and did flips off the diving board, LOL. I must say, I never knew an old lady to do that except you. You were pretty amazing. Thanks for being so fun. Your love for Jesus showed me much. I love staying up so late talking with you, and you're the reason I have a camper today, because we had so many amazing memories camping with you and Grandpa, even if it was just in the backyard. Thank you for always making us personal pizzas and corn on the cob. Another LOL. You also spent so much time with us. You never said no when I asked to come over. I love you so much, and you will be missed so much. I know you are happy in heaven with Jesus and Grandpa. Thank you that we can... Whoops, there goes my phone. Thankful that we can be together again one day because of Jesus. Thank you for making a difference in our lives by just loving us. Love you, Grandma. And that's a really beautiful sentiment that I think probably matches many of our own. On behalf of Pastor Bizard, the board, and all of Auglaize Bible Church, I want to express to the family our deepest sympathy for Alice, for Alice's family that's gathered here today. Sunday morning, February 11th, you lost a mother, a grandmother, a great grandmother, probably an aunt, great aunt, and other relative names that I am not going to remember. But we lost a friend and a founding matriarch of this church. As much as it's possible, we loved her just like you did. To describe Alice, I have a combination of my own memories, many comments that I collected from the family just this week and honestly over the years. There's so much we're celebrating in her life. If I were to meet somebody in an elevator who had never met Alice before, and I only had a few minutes with them, and they said to me, "So who was Alice Clark? What was she like? What did she like?" Here's what I would say. Number one, I say, Alice loved her music. We've already heard testimony to that. We have two talented musicians now at Auglaize Bible that have taken over this role, but I have to express to you, and I have to say, even though they're playing it now, I still think of this as Alice's organ, okay? Julie, forgive me for that, but that's always going to be Alice's organ, okay? In the last few years that Alice attended here, before infirmity kept her at home, she played that organ as long as she could. She loved it. She really did. While playing, of course, as the course of life goes and older age goes, Alice's hearing sort of lost some of its acuity, shall we say. And the volume of that organ pedal, the volume on that organ is controlled by a pedal, okay? And as her hearing declined, so did her pressure on that pedal. I remember some of us investigating a way to keep the volume down. You know, we were thinking about putting a shim underneath that pedal, a couple of us were, because Alice was not going to be denied the ability to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Music was so ingrained in her life. The hymns selected today as part of our service, part of the special singing, the hymn we'll do at the end, were those that were considered her favorites. But, you know, there were so many. And this love stayed with her till the very end. Gil shared with me that he was at the nursing home with her one day, and they're playing the piano there at Richland, and he would have her seated at the piano, so it was sort of that sense as if she was doing. He'd put his arms right around her, and he'd be playing. And, you know, you'd almost think that maybe she wasn't quite with it, you know, and wasn't there, and he'd be playing, and all of a sudden he hit a wrong chord or a wrong note, and her eyes popped up, and she goes, "Nope, that's wrong." And I thought that was pretty funny. We picked out songs, or the family picked out songs, that they got on some phone conferencing together and said, "No, these were Mom's favorites." But I want you to know, right literally before this service, just before the service began, Greg Billings called me and said, "Oh, Dave, I had something written in my Bible. In April of 2001, I was visiting Auglaize, and it must have been during testimony time, because I wrote down in my Bible that Alice said something about, oh, how much he cares for me." And afterwards, after her testimony and testifying about that song and its meaning to her, said, "I want that played at my funeral." And then my daughter said to me, "Why should he love me so? You need to play that one at her funeral because that was her favorite song, Dad. You have to do that." And if I were to ask Dave Lawrence, he gave me about four or five other songs that were her favorite song. There were so many. Alice loved her music. I would say secondly to somebody, Alice loved her Bible. This was another love that stayed with her till the end. I'm going to tell another funny on somebody. I don't know if they're allowing me to tell this or not, but here it goes. Deb and Denny Barnes were calling the family to express their condolences. And, you know, Denny's typically the silent partner, right? You know, usually the quiet guy. And they didn't realize that was on speakerphone. And Gil was sharing with Debbie that one of the granddaughters had said, "You know, I can see Grandma at the pearly gates actually stopping us when each one of us come in. And if we can't recite our memory verses, not letting us in." And Denny, the silent one, all of a sudden goes, "Oh, no, I hope that's not true." Then the three of them cooked up a plan, said, "Well, maybe we can go all at once in a cluster so there'd be too many of us to keep track of." Now, setting aside the fact that we have to abandon some pretty sound theology to even have this discussion, I was thinking about that story, and then I realized something. I said, you know, unless it's the rapture, there's one reason why a whole bunch of us would be going at once, right? So be careful in the drive over for the committal service. There are scores of men and women today who owe their foundational Bible knowledge to Alice Clark. On the very last visit that my wife and I had with Alice, which was just 2 weeks ago today, my wife went up to her first and said, "Alice, we're here to visit. Would you like some visitors?" And she says very politely, she was so polite, and she goes, "Oh, no, thank you." And my wife came back to me, and she says, "She thinks I'm one of the staff. You try. Use your big boy voice, okay?" So I went up and I said, "Alice, it's Dave Brown from the church. Would you like to read the Bible with us?" And her eyes popped and she goes, "Oh, yes." She loved her Bible. She loved her Bible. She loved her music. She loved her Bible. And Alice loved to be active. There was that look she'd get in her eye. Yeah, I describe it as that look that one of my brothers and I were very competitive, that if one of them, you know, challenged one of the other two arm wrestling or a one-on-one basketball or something, that look in her eye that's, "Oh, it is on," right? That look. You know that look that she had, right? She had a warm smile, but she had a stout back. And honestly, I think she'd give the Energizer Bunny a run for his money. She had spunk. There was no doubt about that. She was reared with all brothers and then had four sons of her own. With all that testosterone around, you'd say, "Oh, that poor girl." No, those poor boys, trust me. She was in every sense a lady. But she could teach today's tomboys a thing or two. As you heard, she played basketball for the Herod girls team in high school and led them to a league title. She couldn't get enough of the outdoors, and she loved camping. Back in the day, she was, as you heard, an expert water bug, enjoyed swimming and diving. In fact, the family told me she had a little adventurous, ornery side, too. She frequently got called for timeouts by the Silver Springs lifeguards for being a little too rambunctious. I remember Jim told me once that some days he'd come home from work, and there the boys would be tuckered out with a full day of sun and swimming, and they were exhausted. And there she was, cooking, getting supper ready, managing a lot of other tasks, and not looking any the worse the wear. She had some energy, and she loved her activity. She loved her music. She loved her Bible. She loved to be active, but she loved her family. She and Jim were barely married, and the U.S. Army changed Jim's address to the European War Theater. Alice raised Terry alone for, I think, the first 3 years of his life. She poured her life into her boys and took serious her role as keeper of the home. But it was not just her boys she loved. That same care and concern was there for the generations that came behind. I remember the little grandchildren, who aren't so little anymore, being carted off to our VBS and other special events. I remember times when we'd be praying with Jim and Alice in their home when we were visiting just down here down the street. And sometime during the prayer, I might say something like this: "Lord, watch over their children and their grandchildren. If there's any that are wandering from Christ or don't know him, draw them near. And this woman who normally otherwise sat very quietly during prayer, that would often elicit an amen or mm-hmm, Lord, or something like that from her. She loved her family. Audra and I were blessed to have been included in Alice and Jim's lives. What started as ministry to them because they were shut in due to ailing health, you know, blossomed into a friendship and a bond that is really now forever a special part of our memory. Theirs was a tender, epic love story. I swear it ought to be sold to Hallmark so the rest of the world could enjoy it. I know I shared these same details at Jim's funeral, but it is Valentine's Day, and this is very appropriate. We asked Jim and Alice about their courtship, how they met, how they fell in love. And Jim says, "All that pretty black hair, she was a real knockout." And Alice would twinkle back at him with her, "He was the best looking guy, the most handsome one around. I just loved to flirt with him and watch him turn beet red." Jim told me that he would save his lunch money throughout the week so that he could take Alice out on the weekend. He told me, "We'd go to a picture show and a Kewpie, and then she'd order just the smallest amount because she knew I didn't have much money, but she never made me feel bad about that." They used to meet on the train track somewhere between Alger and Herod, and the engineers, there was such a frequent sight that they would wave at them and call them by name because they knew who they were. But these weren't just stories about the past. Their love was displayed in their actions in front of my wife and I, right to the very end, till death did they part. They stuck it out through the tough times, and God blessed their marriage and provided an example that we should wisely follow today. She adored her man, and he loved his girl. Well, those are good memories. Alice loved her music. She loved her Bible. She loved her activity, and she loved her family. But that's a woefully inadequate summary of a life well lived. At the risk of also getting a look from Alice at those pearly gates, it's time for us to move on to the most important part of the message, and one that about 3 years ago, Jim and Alice swore me to tell today. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, we're going to be, if you wish, it would be page 439. We're going to read Psalm 30. In the months preceding, following Jim's passing, it became apparent that our normal days of conversation were kind of in the rearview mirror. So my wife suggested that because Alice's memory simply didn't allow for that kind of conversation any longer, she suggested to me, you know, we ought to just read the Bible together with her when we're there. I said, that's it. And that turned out to be a great strategy. I kept a reading journal so that I would keep track of what we read. And just 2 weeks ago today, we read Psalms 25 through 30. Psalm 30 was the last Bible chapter that we shared with Alice. And when Gil called me early Sunday morning and said, "Mom's just passed, we want to know if you'd be willing to do the service," which I said I'd be honored to, I started thinking and praying about, well, what could we talk about? What can I say? I mean, there's so much to say. And I went to my journal and I went to this chapter and I read this chapter and I thought, this is perfect. If you're able, I'd ask that you stand with me in honor to God's word, and let's read Psalm 30. "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you today for this, your word. And I thank you for these folks. And I thank you for the legacy of one who lived by faith and by grace trusted in you. And Father, we ask now that as we look into your word, we have a remembrance of a life well lived, that we would glorify you with this time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I read over this passage and I thought about it, and I thought about Alice's life, and I thought about the times that the people here at Auglaize have been able to enjoy and share her for years. I thought maybe this passage can give us three simple life lessons. Number one, there is trouble in this life. There is trouble in this life. In this passage, in verse 3 and verse 9, David is indicating that he's very near death. And whatever the circumstance was that spurred this psalm, we don't exactly know. We know that it was at the dedication of David's house. That may have been the tabernacle blessing, that when the tabernacle was brought to Zion. It may have been when his home was completed. It may have been one of those or two occasions that this psalm was prompted. But David is in this, at this moment of dedication, David is remembering a time when he was near death. He's remembering a troubled time, a tough time. And to be certain, trouble is ahead. Any of us above the age of 5 know that statement to be true. In verse 11, he mentions the sackcloth and ashes, which are outward expressions of a heart that's inwardly in turmoil and in anguish. Alice was no stranger to trials. At one of the most tender, vulnerable times of a young wife's life, the birth of your firstborn, she didn't have her partner beside her. And then there was the founding of this church. One of her children told me, Dave, she lost friends over the founding of this church. There were people she'd known her whole life who literally shunned her in town when they saw her because she started that wacky Bible church where people were getting saved. To be sure, Alice knew trouble, and so do each one of us to varying degrees. Yet it's not the trouble ahead in the normal ebb and flow of life that really is the most important for us to navigate. No, we have a far greater trouble, a trouble of the eternal kind that each one of us are born with, and honestly, we cultivate it with very little trouble and very little prompting. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Scripture describes or declares unto us that each and every one of us are a sinner. And honestly, we hardly need a pastor or a teacher to tell us that. We know it's true in our heart. We may not think that we're too bad, but we certainly know that we're sinners, and we all stand guilty before a holy God. And with that guilt comes a sentencing of death that not one of us will avoid unless we're to be caught up in the rapture. Alice completed her sentence early on Sunday morning. And those of us who remain have the same appointment to keep. Well, number one, there is trouble in this life. I think this passage shares something else, too. I think this passage also shares that there is relief in the Lord. Look at Psalm 30. In verse 1, David says, you lifted me up. In verse 2, he says, you healed me. In verse 3, you kept me alive. In verse 4, he sings and gives thanks to him. In verse 10, he pleads with God to have mercy on him and to help him. In verse 12, he says, I will thank you forever. Both in his requests and in his praise, David knew where his help came from. It came from the Lord. I mentioned that Alice had a stout, determined nature. But it wasn't just that nature, or actually it wasn't that nature, that brought about the founding of this church. I want to read a poem to you that Alice wrote. The title of this poem is Precious Memories. And I want you to keep in mind this second point, that our relief is in the Lord. This poem describes the founding of that church. And just like David, where he's looking back at times where he's been relieved and then looking forward to times when he will be relieved, everything that David pointed to was Christ. Well, it wasn't Christ at that moment, it was to God, and it is to Christ for you and I that we point. I want you to hear in this poem and take notice of how often Alice is acknowledging that the support and the ability and the strength to make that church a reality was not coming from her. Precious memories. There was an old church that stood on a hill. It stood so empty, quiet, and still. It once was alive with singing and praise, where many were saved from their wayward ways. The old circuit preacher that came weekly through taught from the Bible the things they must do to be saved from their sin, to let Jesus come in, to be washed in his blood, and new life begin. So the church grew in knowledge and grace, but the devil was working at a very fast pace. He knows the weaknesses of every man, which helps him desire his wicked plan, helps him devise his wicked plans. He planted a thought in the minds of a few. It started small, but it grew and grew. While he sat back and laughed with glee to see God's work destroyed and for all to see. For 40 years he thought he'd won. He forgot the power of God's dear Son. And the Spirit of God began to move, to work in the hearts of a dedicated few. He opened the doors that once were shut. He answered the prayers that were offered up. With him on our side, supplying our needs, it was impossible for us not to succeed. To start a Bible class, that was the plan. To clean that old church and start again. So we scrubbed and we sanded and we varnished the pews till it began to look shiny and almost new. We stepped out in faith, depending on God, to take back that old church the devil had robbed. A modern bathroom we sure did lack. The only one we had was way out back. She wrote way with like six A's, so that's why I'm saying that. The heat we had from two pot-bellied stoves heated our spirits but froze our toes. Many things happened to each of us, but our time is too short for us to discuss. Anyway, we were so thankful to have godly men who taught the truth that convicted of sin. Many were saved and richly blessed, and that was truly the spiritual test. God was blessing all the way. New things were happening every day. God is not willing that any be lost, but we must do our part at any cost. With prayer and praise every day and yielding our hearts all the way, God, who is faithful, will do his part, but it's up to us to decide to start. To love and obey is the only sure way to face our dear Lord on that great judgment day, to hear our Savior, God's only Son, say, "My child, well done. You have kept my word and witnessed well, so come home with me forever to dwell, where love and kindness will always reign, where you'll always be happy and have no more pain. Won't it be wonderful for you and for me to be with our Jesus for all eternity?" Alice Clark. Truly, Alice and her comrades called on a mighty God, and he thundered in response that he would build his church. And by that, I don't mean the old church down the road that's now forever faded into memory in the history books, or even the walls of this building right here today. This passage and Alice's history both proclaim loudly, the Lord is our relief. He can pull us from the troubles of life. But what about the trouble of our soul, you might ask? What is the remedy for that? A loving Father viewed mankind, a part of the creation into which he breathed life and made living souls, and he saw the separation that had been created by their sin. In his love, he declares a plan. I will become the sacrifice for them. I will offer myself and pay the penalty for their sin. He did this in the life of Jesus, who lived a perfect, sinless life and died the death of a criminal, unjustly executed for a crime that he did not commit, but he took on himself the penalty for your sin and for mine. He was placed in the grave. He was raised by the power of God, and he sits now at the Father's right hand making intercession for all who believe. That, beloved, is the gospel, and that is our relief. Well, how do we access this relief? It doesn't come from within us. You'll note in verse 6 and verse 7 of this passage, there was a time in David's life when he thought, you know, my mountain, it's going to stand, and I'm kind of somebody. And he raised himself up. But then he understood that all the Lord had to do was hide his face for a second, and he was troubled. And David knew that the relief did not come from himself. And you know, Alice has an answer for this. On September 27th, 2017, I wrote in my journal what we had read to Alice that day, and I made some notes. We had read the book of Ephesians. We read Ephesians 1 through 6 on that visit. And there were two times when I was reading that I stopped in the middle of a verse and waited to see if she was listening. Because sometimes when we would be reading together, her eyes would be just down and her eyes would be closed, and you'd think she's not listening. I was at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and I read this. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is, and I stopped. Her head popped up, a gift of God. And I was later in Ephesians 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the, and I stopped. Popped up again, the Word of God. And she's right there, it is. The gift of God, written in the Word of God, it is the Son of God. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. There is no other way. That is an exclusive statement. It is our faith in the finished work of Christ, our belief in Him that brings this relief. It is by the giving up of our own ability to earn God's favor and trusting in Christ instead that we gain. Well, in this passage, we see that there is trouble in this life. We see that there's relief in the Lord, and I think there's a third thing we see, that there is joy in the morning. In Psalm 30, verse 5. This is really where, when I was reading this, in His favor is life, and there is joy in the morning, that I was thinking at that moment. That was on Sunday. I was reading that. I was thinking about just what Alice was seeing at that very moment. And that's when I said, this is the passage. This is the passage. Verse 11, we see that He turns mourning into dancing and gladness. And I was thinking about what Alice was seeing at that very moment. And I just, my mind really couldn't take it in. There is truly joy after weeping. Morning does come after the night. And sometimes we understand that even here in our temporal existence. But that statement has its greatest meaning, I think its greatest application today, when taken in an eternal context. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible makes clear that those who live in Christ, that for them death is defined as gain, not as defeat. Paul expressed this dilemma of his between two options, wanting to remain and minister to God's people here on earth or die. Unless you think that sounds like a pretty easy choice to me, Dave, right? Paul defines, by the inspiration of the Spirit, which is the better path. Verse 23 makes that clear. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. There's the better choice. God finally chose that better path for Alice on Sunday. You know, it was 11 months ago to the day that the majority of this crowd gathered and met to bid farewell to Jim. It was March 14th, 2017. Together, today, we gather to say goodbye to his better half. And I smile at considering the union, the reunion they rejoiced on Sunday morning. You know that? Alice had the cloudiness removed from her mind. The frailness of age was banished from them both. And best of all, the glory of their Savior was now visible in person for them now to enjoy and forevermore. I thought of the reunion with other saints that have passed on from this church and from others. From all those who may have said to Alice, thank you for teaching me the Bible. Thank you for leading me to Christ. Thank you for being an agent willing to be used of God. Well, beloved, we've gathered today to pay tribute to a good woman. But more than that, we're acknowledging the good God who gave her 94 years of life. There are many here who have been the recipients of Alice's time and concern and love. You probably viewed her as a caretaker. But I think it's important now that we seek comfort from Alice's eternal caretaker. Alice was a good woman, but she was far from perfect. But you know what she was that's vastly more important than any other title I can give her? She was born again. Alice placed her hope and trust in a risen Savior. And by the Savior's merits alone, she enjoys eternal rest. I'm told that she loved black jelly beans and blueberry waffles and frozen pizzas with lots and lots of extra cheese. Fago pop and camping and swimming and diving, music and jabbering and something the family called double talk, which I don't even understand. But those loves pale in comparison to how much she loved you. And if there's one final goodbye wish to her family, and frankly to all of us, that I'm confident of, because I made a promise to them both that I would declare it, it would be this. Turn to the Savior today. He is not your Lord. Or if you're wandering from him, return today and don't delay. Don't put it off a minute longer. And if you know him, don't be shy because others need the gospel that you have and that saved her. And that is the message they told me to give to you today. There is trouble in this life, and there's trouble of the eternal kind. There is relief in Christ and in only him. And there is joy in the morning after darkness of the death of those who trust Christ because your eternal reward is there. And if you're listening to that small, still voice of the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm saying is true. Alice enjoys her eternal rest now. Will you? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the joy that is ours to know Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this psalm that provided to us an encouragement this day, an enrichment. Thank you for the wake that we travel in that was laid by this good woman. But it wasn't her strength and her creativity and her activity that made anything happen. It was you. It was all you. And Lord, we trust in you. And we pray that if there's any here now who by faith have not made that commitment to you, that they would do that. They would not delay. They would heed the advice of two who are gone, and they would act now to commit their lives to you. Father, be near us. Strengthen us. Help the family in these days and weeks ahead when the loss may be most acute, may be most difficult to bear. Give them strength. Help them to know the joy that's being experienced now by their departed mother and grandmother who loved Christ and trusted in Him alone. May we all make that same choice. Father, I ask in Jesus' name.
So many would say how much Alice had meant with the Scripture. Those many, many years ago would remember her use of the Scripture and her willingness to teach the verses of Scripture. It is a wonderful thing for her that now she's seeing what she taught. Those verses that are etched into the memory of so many, she's living it. She's proof to say it was worth it, trusting Him as my Savior. Closing song will be number Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the victory we have in Christ, and we thank You for that victory that Alice had when she trusted You as Savior, the fact that it is all complete for her now, that she stands in Your presence, that for her, strife is over in this world, and she has begun to live her eternity, singing Your praises, continuing to do there what she did here, honoring her Savior in what she did. We thank You for her life. We thank You for the Savior that she held out for so many, for teaching Your word, for her desire that others come to know her Savior as she knew You. We pray, Father, that we would all be the fruit of her labor, that her life, as it's touched all of ours, that we would live for You to honor and glorify You, that what she taught each of us, we would take with us and we would use for Your honor and glory. We pray that You would be with each of us and comfort us in knowing her loss, but rejoice in the Savior that she now stands before. May we look forward to the day when we too shall stand before that same Savior and join her in singing Your praises. It's in Your name we pray these things. Amen.
Going to be dismissed now, and we'll turn it back to the director. And those who are going to be following, we have a procession to the